My name is Will McHenry. I'm a program associate at Polonaris Eurasia, and I'm here with Professor Robert Ortung. He is the director of research at George Washington Sustainability Collaborative and an associate research professor at the Elliott School's Institute for European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies. He's currently conducting research on a wide number of topics, including urban sustainability in the Arctic and Russian propaganda. So what is Russia's international broadcast strategy?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look back at the history all the way to Soviet times, Russia was actually a first mover in developing international broadcasting. In 1929, they started broadcasting on radio, and they're one of the first countries trying to reach over the governments of other countries to speak directly to the populations of foreign countries. And so now, if you skip ahead many decades to the 80s, it was clear that CNN and BBC were dominant in international broadcasting. And the Russians felt at that time, and especially when Putin came to power in, you know, in 2000 and around 2005, they felt that by 2005, the Western media, Anglo-American media, was basically dominating the international narrative. And so they decided they wanted to get a Russian voice in there. So not just the Anglo-Americans, but have a Russian perspective on news that would be part of the global conversation. And they, of course, join China, Germany, France, Japan, South Korea, many other countries around the world that also have their own international broadcasters and trying to get their opinions out there. So the gist of RT and Sputnik, I think, is first of all to get the Russian opinion out in the airwaves. And it also then obviously plays other roles, which we've seen with the campaign, which is undermining American democracy, I think, first and foremost, and Western democracy, undermining the confidence people have in the West in their own political system.
And who is the audience for this material?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I think the size of the audience is not large. There's not a lot of people who are seeking out Russia's point of view or seeking out Russian opinions. So if you look at the actual number of people who go to their websites or see their material on YouTube, that kind of thing, or watch it on cable TV where it's available, it's relatively small compared to the overall consumption of the media. But our research shows that it's actually a very activist audience, that many of these people who watch RT content are male, which is interesting. It gives a gender dimension to it, because most of the people who use the internet are actually female. And it also, the people are highly educated. So we think that the strategy of the Russians is to reach out to the opinion makers in the West. And it's these people who, for whatever reason, they're not happy with the mainstream media. They do like to consume the Russian content, and then they send it out to their friends on Facebook, Twitter, and other sources. So I think a lot of the distribution of Russian propaganda is actually by people who, for whatever reason, think it's important that others read that material.
And what do you think has been the impact of these Russian broadcasts?
Mm-hmm. That's the toughest question to answer of all of them, of course. Clearly we know that Russia intervened in our election, that they tried to get the material out there. It's also clear that the American public, for example, in our 2016 presidential elections was divided nearly 50-50, and that in that context where there's such a close and extensive polarization, any kind of input could have had an impact on the election. So it's highly possible that they did have an impact. And more recent research is showing that very small websites, by putting up material, can often influence the Twitter debate and other things. And we know that the Russians are very good at getting their material out into Twitter and other areas. So on one hand, there's sort of, there's no smoking gun, but there's some kind of evidence that these small websites can have a big impact, even if they're only a small audience. On the other hand, you know, the media environment in the United States and the West in general is huge. The Russian influence there is relatively small. Most of what they were doing is kind of hit and miss, amateurish, and in a lot of ways they're just amplifying themes that already exist in the American context. So certainly a lot of what President Trump's saying about the system being rigged is now echoed in Russian propaganda. So in that sense, they have a real, you know, at the highest level of the U.S. political system, they have someone who's basically making the same arguments that they are, in a sense undermining American democracy, and that's probably their most powerful impact.
Great. Bob, that was a fascinating discussion, and thank you so much for joining us on the PhonoRS podcast series, and we look forward to reading your research in the future.
Thank you. My pleasure.